ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، أو بوك الأدب المفرد by الإمام البخاري رحمه الله. We, in the last class yesterday, came on two major chapters. باب الدعاء عند الغيث والمطر. A chapter about the supplications to make during huge, very beneficial rainfall, غيث. And generally too, when there is rainfall, Muslim has been taught by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to make dua. So let's not forget that from the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was to make dua at the time of rains. And the dua that he would make when the rains fall was for him to say sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, اللهم صيبا نافعا اللهم صيبا نافعا. Oh Allah, make this rain profuse, make it fall on us in huge quantity. نافعا, let it also be beneficial. The rains may be a lot in their quantity and they are not beneficial, they are counted not beneficial. For example, when from the rains we are not noticing that the plants are growing, we are not noticing that there is sufficient runoff, there is sufficient percolated water for the groundwater and all of this. And ikhwah, sometimes what appears to fall as rains are actually a punishment from Allah. May Allah protect us. Those punishments, sometimes they descend from the time of the gathering clouds, and sometimes they descend at the time when it blows as the wind, and sometimes they descend when the rains actually drop on the ground. And that was why, as we mentioned in class yesterday, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he also has a dua that he says when it is winding and the clouds are gathering. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he would say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min khayriha wa khayri ma ursila biha wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma ursila biha. Allahumma inni as'aluka, in other expressions, khayraha wa khayra ma ursilat bihi, the goodness in the wind, khayraha. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma ursilat bihi, I ask you for the goodness in this wind and the goodness in its being sent. It is one thing for the wind itself to be of goodness, it is another thing for it to have been sent for goodness by the one who owns it, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa a'udhu bika min sharriha, I also seek your refuge from the evil of this wind. Wa sharri ma ursilat bihi, and from whatever evil it has been sent with. Those are the dua of the Prophet when it winds. That wind may be tough, removing houses, cutting down trees, destroying roads, destroying homes, and the rest of that. And then when it rains, it also now rains so profusely. We begin to hear that rains have made the people to become homeless. So at that, when it rains, the Prophet will still make dua, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He would say, Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. Allahumma sayyiban nafi'a. In the second hadith we had yesterday, that was hadith 687. It was the hadith of Khabbab ibn al-Arad, one of the Prophet's companions, radiallahu anhum, Abu Abdullah. He had accepted Islam from the first days of Islam back, and he was from those who were severely punished, who were patient over the hardships they faced from the Mushrikun because of their own accepting Islam. He said, radiallahu anhu, لولا أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم نهانا أن ندعو بالموت لدعوت. If it were not that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام had forbidden us begging Allah our lives, لدعوت, I would have begged Allah to take my life. And that was because of the pain and the sufferings from previous injuries that he had suffered, radiallahu anhu, and then old age. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had prohibited them from asking Allah to take their lives. We gave full explanations to this yesterday. We also mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even taught us, for those, like he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, fa'in kana la abudda fa'ilan. If a person has to now do necessarily, absolutely in pain and all of this, he has to say something regarding the time of his death. He should not say, oh Allah, take my life. No. Oh Allah, this pain is too much, take my life. No, it is not proper. And we mentioned yesterday, sometimes some of the people even become arrogant towards Allah. They begin to say, Allah, what is this that you are doing? As if to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from arrogance. This is from empty arrogance. And many of the people are like this. They think that they don't deserve a trial from Allah. How should you think that you don't deserve a trial? And then you begin to hear statements like, oh, why is this coming to me? Why? Who are you? Bigger things came to the messengers of Allah, alayhim salatu wasalam. Bigger trials. The messengers of Allah, the closest of the human beings to Allah, they suffered trials. Allah shook them together with their followers. They suffered and they sacrificed for the belief that they came to spread on the surface of the earth, which was servitude to Allah alone. So who are you to now be querying, to be questioning, why should it be me? Why should you not answer me when I call you? Who are you? And this is common in our own times now, because self-amazement is very common now. These kinds of speeches are common now because self-amazement is very common now. Women, a wife is self-amazed towards her husband. The husband is full of self-amazement towards his wife. The children are full of self-amazement towards their parents. Parents are full of self-amazement regarding their friends and colleagues, and so on. So this self-amazement drives people easily to arrogance. And some of the people, not keeping to limits at all, they even direct arrogance to Allah. as if they can question anything, as if they can query anybody. And if they do, should they also bring that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the owner of everything and the controller of all things? So don't let it get you to a stage where you begin to query and question, why should you be the one? I think you should respect yourself and know your limits. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لا يتمينا أحدكم الموت. Let not any one of you begin to have التمني, anticipation for death. You anticipate, you are hoping, let me just die. It's better to just die and go. My dear brother, if you die, do you know your condition in the grave? Are you clear that you have directly, properly worshipped Allah to be met with comfort inside your grave? Despite your statements of arrogance, may Allah protect us. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِنْ كَانَ لَا بُدَّ فَاعِلًا فَلْيَقُلْ. If he has not any choice but to request and beg Allah regarding death, then he should say, اللَّهُمَّ أَحْيِنِي مَا كَانَتْ الْحَيَاةُ خَيْرًا لِي. Oh Allah, keep me alive. أَحْيِنِي. اللَّهُمَّ أَحْيِنِي مَا كَانَتْ الْحَيَاةُ خَيْرًا لِي. Oh Allah, keep me alive for as long as living is the best for me. وَتَوَفَّنِي إِذَا كَانَتِ الْوَفَاةُ خَيْرًا لِي. Take my life when death is the best thing for me. Allahumma ahyini ma kanat al-hayatu khayran li wa tawaffani idha kanat al-wafatu khayran li. This is the best of what we can say in terms of illness and death, when the individual thinks that he is so pushed to the wall. And the fact remains that how many times have people felt that pains were too much, and so they will prefer death, and then Allah grants them sound health, and then he removes the pain, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they begin to say alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. How many times has this happened? So if you had begged Allah that you should take your life and your life had been taken, how about that sound health that you returned to? How about those other good deeds that you had done within the time? So, ikhwa, I think one major thing we all must be emphasizing in our generation is humility. People are very haughty and proud now because of perceived achievements. They are proud. People are self-amazed, thinking that they can say anything anywhere to everybody. So they lose that sense of limit, and then they also think that they can say anything regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ikhwa, men, women, children, everybody should be humble. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited us to pray for death. People will be saying death is even better than your condition. Who told you that? All these are statements of arrogance and empty sense of self-amazement. May Allah forgive each and every one of us. Al-Imam al-Bukhari followed that chapter by returning to Babu Da'awati Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had given us 23 ahadith regarding the expressions of dua from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He gave us a spice in those two other chapters we read in class yesterday. And then he returned to Da'wah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the supplications of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So he came to Hadith 688. He said, rahimahullah, حدثنا محمد بن بشار قال حدثنا عبد الملك بن الصباح قال حدثنا شعبة عن أبي إسحاق عن ابن أبي موسى عن أبيه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أنه كان يدعو بهذا الدعاء: رب اغفر لي خطيئتي، رب اغفر لي خطيئتي وجهلي وإسرافي في أمري كله، وإسرافي في أمري كله وما أنت أعلم به مني. اللهم اغفر لي خطئي كله وعمدي وجهلي وهزلي وكل ذلك عندي. اللهم اغفر لي ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت، أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر وأنت على كل شيء قدير. رب اغفر لي خطيئتي وجهلي وإسرافي في أمري كله وما أنت أعلم به مني. اللهم اغفر لي خطئي كله وعمدي وجهلي وهزلي وكل ذلك عندي. اللهم اغفر لي ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت، أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر وأنت على كل شيء قدير. الإمام البخاري took that hadith from his Sheikh Muhammad ibn Bashar. That was one great from amongst the scholars of hadith, was a well-known person amongst the scholars, Muhammad ibn Bashar. He used to be referred to as Bundar, and his kunya was Abu Bakrin. He was from the scholars of Basra. Rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Bashar Bundar. Rahimahullah, he was the Shaykh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. He said, حدثنا عبد الملك بن الصباح. That is عبد الملك بن الصباح الصنعاني. Rahimahullah, who was reporting from that well-known Imam Shu'bah to Ibn Hajjaj, Rahimahullah, well-known. And he is reporting from his own Shaykh, also well-known with him, Rahimahullah, Abu Ishaq, that is Al-Imam Amr ibn Abdullah, Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, Rahimahullah, who was reporting from the son of a companion, Ibn Abi Musa. Ibn Abi Musa was the child of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Ibn Abi Musa. So Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i said, An Ibn Abi Musa, Ibn Abi Musa was from the children directly of that eminent companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Qais radiallahu anhu. We all call him Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. But as for Ibn Abi Musa, his son, his kunya was Abu Burda, who was the son of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Abu Burda. The scholars have differed about what was his name. Some say it was Asim and so on. But the scholars say his name was almost unknown. غَلَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ كُنْيَتُهُ, because his kunya became preponderant on him. Some people are like that. Abu Burda was the name by which he became popular. so much that his actual name became almost unknown, Abu Burda, Abu Burda. Sometimes Allah makes it easy for some people like this. I personally have heard many people thinking that my name was Abu Bakr Nasir, because I am generally referred to as Abu Nasir, Abu Nasir. Some don't even know what's my name. So it happens like that, and it has been like that since the history of Islam. Some of the people became so known with their kunyas that their real name may not even be known. Some, the name may be known, but they are more widely referred to using the kunya. One of such persons was our head, Radiallahu Anhu, Abu Bakr As-Siddiq. Everybody would say Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr. But his real name was what? Abdullah, Radiallahu Anhu. So the same thing applies to Ibn Abi Musa in this Isnad. His kunya was what? Abu Burda. But his actual name was virtually almost not known. But he was mentioned to be Amir. He is the son of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. The same thing, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Many of the people don't know that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, his actual name was Abdullah ibn Qais. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, his name was what? Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Abdullah ibn Qais. The actual name of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he was Abdullah by his name. Ashtahara bil kunya, but he became very, very popular with his kunya. Everybody will say Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Some may not even remember at all that his name was Abdullah because of the commonness of that kunya. It has happened like that since the history of Islam. He was the one reporting from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, annahu kana yad'u bihaza dua. That the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam, kana yad'u, kana yad'u, kana yad'u. It is very common in the expressions of these ahadith. Kana akthar dua in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kana yukthiru an yad'u bihaza dua. It's this kind of a regular description that he would always say this, he would always say this, he would always make dua like this. The first lesson in all of that is that Prophet always make a dua. So every companion has something to report about the Prophet's dua, dua, dua. That was why he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa alaykum ibadallahi bidua. O servants of Allah, make dua. Make dua. And I say, usually, one of the things regularly saying dua will bring to you, ikhwa, is the opposite of what we were talking about in terms of arrogance. People are generally arrogant in these days. And from the manifestations of arrogance is that everybody thinks that they can say everything. Everybody thinks he has a right to say something. They call it take. What is your take? Everybody has a take. Ikhwa, keep quiet sometimes. In fact, most of the times you should be silent. Should you want to talk about everything? But these days, the one who feels to keep quiet, not talking about everything, is considered a fool now. As if the person is not intelligent enough. There are some of the people, the help, the assistance they will do to the religion of Allah is to keep quiet. Keep quiet. So when you are quiet, people are free from the harm from your tongue. Unfortunately, everybody has a TV station, a TV channel. The TV station, the TV channel for everybody are his social media platforms, because everybody is broadcasting now. When we are younger than this, in the entirety of the state, you only have two broadcasting stations. When we are far younger, it used to be NTA alone. alone. Then RSTV came. RSTV, in fact, they were managing to survive. Otherwise, it was NTA. Only NTA alone. And then the RSTV came. They took a long time before they were able to be stable. And then other stations began to spring. I am talking about from the locality where we came. Maybe in Lagos, LTV. LTV is very old. And that was also after NTA. On the radio stations too, the same thing. When we were younger than this, it was just one single station, FRCN, Federal Radio Corporation. They broadcast network news, 7 o'clock in the morning. I don't know whether they still do that now. 7 o'clock in the morning, the local stations will hook up, whether Radio Reverse, they will hook up to national radio station, FRCN. 2 weeks ago, we went to bury one of our brothers near the FRCN Lagos office. That place is in shambles. I hope that those in charge will pay attention to that FRCN. But one of the reasons why all those institutions are not in the place where they should be is the proliferation of broadcasting. Everybody is a broadcaster now. Everybody makes a video. Everybody broadcasts. Everybody is saying everything. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has a tongue. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a view. So it imbues ignorance. It spreads ignorance and imbues, it cultivates arrogance. Because the nature of man is that he wants to dominate. So he wants his view to be dominant. He wants his approach to be dominant. He wants others to listen and follow him. So he begins to feel haughty and proud towards others. So that's why you see on the social media, people are contesting for a place. Who is most listened to? Who has the most fans, the most likes, the most share, the most streamed? All of these are from the aspects of contest for superiority and looking down upon others. So there is widespread arrogance on the land. But when people are devoted to dua, dua imbibes the culture of humility. And that's where you will see humility in this dua of the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, one of the scholars said that this particular dua of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, huwa min babi tawadu'i. It is from the aspects of teaching us humility. The Prophet, in this dua we want to explain today, is teaching us to be humble servants of Allah. So he will say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rabbi ighfir li khati'ati wa jahli. Rabbi ighfir li khati'ati wa jahli. Oh my Lord, ighfir li. Forgive me, khati'ati. Forgive me my sins, my dhunub. Rabbi ighfir li khati'ati wa jahli. And things that I have done not knowing. I did them not knowing. Allah, forgive me. Rabbi ighfir li khati'ati wa jahli. Oh Allah, forgive my sins wa jahli. Oh Allah, forgive things that I did not knowing. Wa israfi fi amri kullihi. The aspects in my life where I went beyond limits. Allah, forgive me. Things that I did, I went beyond limits in them. Allah, forgive me. Maybe I spoke, I went beyond limits. Maybe I saw things, I looked beyond limits. Maybe I slept beyond limits. Maybe I ate food beyond limits. Maybe I was walking beyond limits. Think whatever I do beyond limits. Forgive me, Allah. Rabbi ighfir li khati'ati wa jahli. وإسرافي في أمري كله وما أنت أعلم به مني. Those things that you know better about them, more than I even know, forgive me those ones too. ربي اغفر لي خطيئتي وجهلي وإسرافي في أمري كله وما أنت أعلم به مني. Allah, forgive me all of these things, my dhunub, my sins, the ones that I did not know in. Wa israfi fi amri, every aspect of my going beyond limits in my affairs. Allah, forgive me. Ikhwa, wallahi, we go beyond limits in things, maybe in speech, maybe in sleep, maybe in eating food, maybe in drinking water, maybe in blaming people, maybe in praising people, in different kinds of, maybe in our dressing, I go, you go, everyone goes beyond limits in everything that we do. All of these going beyond limits, they are from the aspects of Israf fi umurina. Oh Allah, forgive me those ones. وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَمُ بِهِ مِنِّي. The aspects of my life and everything that I do, you know better than I do. Forgive me all of them. O Allah. اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي خَطَئِي كُلَّهُ. It would start again. اللَّهُمَّ اغْفِرْ لِي خَطَئِي كُلَّهُ. O Allah, forgive all my sins. وَعَمْدِي وَجَهْلِي. There are some that I was deliberate when I wanted to do that thing, but it ended up becoming a sin. I was deliberate, I was careful, but it ended up becoming a sin. وَجَهْلِي. And those things that I did not knowing, I did some things I did not know. Some I was conscious, but I ended up, it became a sin. Some I wasn't, but it was from the aspects of sin. Wahazli, those things that I was joking when I did them, but it ended up becoming a sin. Look at the three of them. One, I was careful, I was conscious. It ended up becoming a sin. Jahali, the other one, I didn't know. It ended up becoming a sin. Hazli, the other one, I was joking. Ikhwa, many times when you hear two brothers joking, we joke with things we should not joke with. A brother begins to insult his brother. Egbe, iwoto gbadun, iwoto. It's very common in the name of a joke. Does it being a joke mean that it is lawful? Does it being a joke, does it legalize what is unlawful? Does being a joke, does it legalize indecent speech? That it is a joke does not mean that. Did Allah not tell us that مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ, whatever that humans utter in terms of anything you say, it will be documented for you or against you. إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Anything you say, and then we say and do so many things, we said, I was just joking. It is either for you or it is against you. Many of us, the jokes are even too much, so much beyond limits. And it is from that joke that Shaitan comes in between brothers. فَأَفْسَدَ مَا بَيْنَهُمْ. It destroys their relationship from. It will start with a joke. The other one begins to say, are you joking with me? He took it serious. And that's why Allah says, وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ أَوْ أَقْوَمْ. The two of them. So be careful what you say. Don't say I was just joking and your brother had taken it serious, giving it expressions and meanings that you don't even imagine. So be careful about your jokes too. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will make that dua saying, اللهم اغفر لي خطئي كله وعمدي وجهلي وهزلي وكل ذلك عندي. And I have all of that. I have khata, I have amt, I have jahl. Those things I did not know, but it's ended up becoming a sin. He said, wa kullu dhalika indi. And all of that are from the things from me. Allahumma ghfir li ma qaddamtu wa ma akhartu. Allahumma ghfir li ma qaddamtu wa ma akhartu. Wala, forgive me those things that I have put forward. I should not have done them, but I have put them. They are things that I have done. Forgive me. Wa ma akhartu. In some cases, I have delayed some things. Perhaps I should not have delayed them. Forgive me. Wa ma asrartu. There are some of them, it was in the secret. Nobody saw me. But it happened that I had committed a sin. Wa ma a'lantu. Sometimes it was in the public. I said or did something, and it was not appropriate. Forgive me. Anta al-muqaddimu wa anta al-muakhiru. You are the one who bring forward whatever you want. Wa anta al-muakhiru. You are the one who keep in a delay. You keep it, whatever you want. You bring forward what you want, and you keep behind whatever you want. Wa anta ala kulli shay'in qadir. And you are the one who has power and ability over all things. Ikhwa, you will see, like one of the scholars said, rahimahullah, hafizahullah, he said this hadith, huwa min babi tawadu'i. It is from the major aspects of humbleness and humility towards Allah. The Prophet will say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rabbi ighfir li khati'ati wa jahli wa israfi fi amri kullihi wa ma anta alamu bihi minni. Allahumma ighfir li khata'i kullah وعمدي وجهلي وهزلي وكل ذلك عندي. اللهم اغفر لي ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر وأنت على كل شيء قدير. This is one of the dua of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, and it was reported from him by Abdullah ibn Qais, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu, in the hadith 689 that followed. It was almost in the same expression of the last hadith, and it was also reported from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari by his son Abu Burda, and another one of his son, Abu Bakrin. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari had two sons. They were from the scholars of hadith. One of them was who? Abu Bakrin ibn Abi Musa al-Ash'ari. The second one was who? Abu Burda ibn Abi Musa al-Ash'ari. And Abu Musa al-Ash'ari himself, his name was what? Abdullah ibn Qais. Both Abu Burda and Abu Bakrin reported this hadith. The first report, 688, is the hadith of who? Abu Burda. That was the expression. The second one was the report of who? Abu Bakrin and who? Abu Burda. The two of them reported the second expression too. It is practically just like the first expression. It says, Allahumma ghafir li khati'ati wa jahli wa israfi fi amri wa ma anta a'lamu bihi minni. Allahumma ghafir li hazli wa jaddi wa khata'i wa amdi wa kullu dhalika indi. It is practically in the expression of the first wording that we had described in 688. Hadith 688 and 689 were from that dua that was reported by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari from the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, that two of his sons, two of the sons of Abu Musa, Abu Bakrin and Abu Burda, both reported from their father, Abdullah ibn Qais, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. The Fula expression is the first one that we have read. The Prophet will say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rabbi ghfir li khati'ati wa jahri wa israfi fi amri kullihi wa ma anta alam bihi minni. اللهم اغفر لي خطئي كله وعمدي وجهلي وهزلي وكل ذلك عندي. اللهم اغفر لي ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلنت. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر وأنت على كل شيء قدير. In hadith 690, الإمام البخاري has reported a very, very important hadith. And I want us to pay full attention to this hadith. It was a dealing between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and one of the most beloved companions to him, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu. That is hadith 690 that al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported from his Shaykh Abu Asim النبيل الضحاك بن مخلد رحمه الله. الإمام البخاري said, حدثنا أبو عاصم عن حيوة قال حدثنا عقبة بن مسلم سمع أبا عبد الرحمن الحبلي عن السنابحي عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه قال أخذ بيدي النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وقال يا معاذ قلت لبيك قال إني أحبك قلت وأنا والله أحبك قال ألا أعلمك كلمات تقولها في دبر كل صلاتك قلت نعم قال قل اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. الإمام البخاري has reported this hadith from his Sheikh Abu Asim, well known from the teachers of Al-Bukhari. Al-Dhahak ibn Makhlad was his name. But like we said regarding Abu Burda ibn Abi Musa al-Ash'ari and Abu Bakrin ibn Abi Musa al-Ash'ari, and about Abu Musa Al-Ash'ari himself, Abu Asim al-Nabil kana min al-mashhurina bil-kunya. He was from those who became very, very popular with their kunya. Abu Fulan, Abu Nasir, Abu Bakrin, Abu Huraira, Abu Musa, and so on. It was a very common thing among the early Muslims to be known with the kunya. Some of them are so known with the kunya so much that even their real names became obscure. They are known by a few. In fact, some of them don't want to be called by any other thing except their kunya. Rahimahumullah. Abu Asim al-Nabi was reporting this hadith from his own Sheikh, Haywa ibn Shuraih. Rahimahullah. Haywa ibn Shuraih al-Misri. From the scholars of Egypt, he was reporting from Uqba ibn Muslim, also from the scholars of Egypt. He said, Sami'a Abu Abd al-Rahman al-Hubli. Abu Abd al-Rahman al-Hubli was the tabi'i of this hadith, tabi'u tabi'i of this hadith. He reported it from As-Sunabihi. As-Sunabihi was also well known from amongst the Tabi'un. He was an elder from amongst the Tabi'un. He also has a history of coming to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, but getting into Medina and finding out that the Prophet had died sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. The same thing we said yesterday regarding Qais ibn Abi Hazim. Qais ibn Abi Hazim was on the way By the time he arrived in Medina, the Prophet was dead, alayhi salatu wasalam. The same thing with this eminent tabi'i, al-Sunabihi. This time, he is reporting from Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu. The kunya of Mu'adh was Abu Abdurrahman. Mu'adh ibn Jabal was who? In his kunya, Abu Abdurrahman. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu, was really, really beloved to the Prophet. Let us hear this narration of this incident between himself and his beloved and our beloved Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, أَخَذَ بِيَدِي النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The Prophet held my hand, alayhi salatu wasalam. How would that be when Muaz was reporting that hadith after the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam? What will he be feeling in him? The Prophet, أَخَذَ بِيَدِي النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. The Prophet held my hand. The point here is, that time after the Prophet had died, when Muaz was telling As-Sunabihi and the rest of those who heard that hadith from Muaz, because that hadith is wildly reported amongst the scholars right from the time of the Tabi'un. When he held his hand, when he was reporting it to the people, that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he grabbed my hand. What do this imply? Firstly, yes, the Prophet loves Mu'ad alayhi salatu wasalam. Secondly, he wanted Mu'ad to pay attention to what he was going to say. Thirdly, it is from the emphasis of the connection between Mu'ad and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I said that somebody was talking to me, he held my hand, nobody will ask me whether I have ever met that person. If someone said now, because the people in the generation value so much now are the rich. If someone said, President Tinubu held my hand like this, and he was saying to me, will anybody ask you whether you have ever met him? It is beyond meeting him, because it emphasizes a connection between yourself and the one who was holding your hand. For me, my father died in the year 2002, January. And one of the things I usually remember is that wherever we went to, if we need to cross a road, he would hold my hand. Even when I was already a graduate, if we wanted to cross a road, he would hold my hand. If we wanted to move, he would hold my hand. I usually remember it. So how would it be in the mind of Mu'adh when he would be reporting to the people, radiyallahu anhu, that akhadha biyadi النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم held my hand, عليه الصلاة والسلام. فقال, then he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا مواد. I think teachers should learn this hadith to learn teaching experience. One of the things teachers should pay attention to are these then two touches. Sometimes it was on the chest that he called the attention of the person. Sometimes he beats the laughs of the person. Sometimes he touched the shoulders. Someone compiled all of these kinds of lessons you learn from the approach, how the Prophet used to teach people. He compiled it in a book. He titled Al-Rasulu Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Mu'alliman, the Prophet as a teacher. He went into the books of Sirah to gather all these kinds of things. So after the Prophet was holding Mu'adh, the next thing was he called him, Ya Mu'adh. Was Mu'adh not paying attention when he held his hand? He'll be paying attention, but he wants him to pay attention more. And that's why we all should pay attention more to what will come after this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam held his hands and he said, Ya Mu'adh. Oh Mu'adh, he said, Kul to Labbaik. He said, I answered, I said, Labbaik. That's the sunnah here. So if I call you, Oh Abu Bakr, what should you say? Labbaik. If I say, Oh Abu Abdurrahman, what should you say? Labbaik. If I call a girl, Oh Rashida, Oh, Fatima, what should she say? Labbaik. Why? When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Mu'adh, Ya Mu'adh, how did he answer? That Labbaik. This is from the Sunnah also. Most times when we call people about the Rahman, they say, eh? What does eh mean? In Yoruba, they say, Na'am. We are not saying that Na'am is incorrect. But Khairul Hadi, Hadi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of guidance is the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. So when the Prophet called Mu'adh, Mu'adh said what? Labbaik. You can add that to the list of your sunnah. So whenever you are called, instead of saying Na'am, instead of saying eh, and the likes of that that people say, you can say what? Labbaik, by way of following this sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Don't forget that it comes from the Sunan at-Tathririyya, the approvals of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to his companions and his ummah radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet called him Ya Mu'adh. Oh Mu'adh. Mu'adh said radiallahu anhu, Labbaik, I am here, as if he was making Umrah or Hajj. This way we say Labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma la'awwa, I'm here. I'm available, I'm on the ground here. This is the meaning of Labbaik. Labbaik means I am here. I am available for you. Send me, talk to me, command me. This is the meaning of what? Labbaik. So Mu'adh answered and said Labbaik. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Inni uhibbuka. As for me, I uhibbuka. I love you. In the expression collected by Imam Abu Dawud, it says, Ya Mu'adh, wallahi, inni la uhibbuka. Look at tawkidat, particles of emphasis. Ya Mu'adh itself can come as an emphasis. He wanted him to pay attention. Then he says, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, in me, this is emphasis. La, this is lam, it's for emphasis. All these are tawkidat, emphasizing that the Prophet really, 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 really loved Mu'adh. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa radiyallahu anhu. There is a lesson here, ikhwa. Many of us, we love people. We can't tell them that we love them. From the sunnah is that if you love somebody, let the person know that I love so person. Even though young people, boys and girls, should be careful here and it should not be exploited for evil. Young boy, young girl can say, they said that if you love somebody and I love you, I need to tell you that I love you. What's the evidence? The evidence? No, this is not what we are talking about. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's love for Mu'adh was because of his attention to the deen. Was because of his efforts upon the deen, was because of his sacrifice upon the deen. And he's saying that to him will further encourage Mu'adh. It will make Mu'adh to understand that your efforts are appreciated. Please do more. And it was not feared that Mu'adh will become something else. Because sometimes some of the people, when they are told things like this, they become something else. So when all of these things are not feared, expressed to people, give people encomium, give them a praise that is just within what they have done, just by way of appreciation, by way of encouragement, by way of telling them, do more. It says, Wallahi inni la uhibbuka. Mu'adh, I swear by Allah, I really, really love you. Kul tu. Mu'adh said, Wa ana wallahi uhibbuk. Oh, and me too, O Messenger of Allah. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, I love you. This is evidence that the Prophet really, really loved Mu'adh. And Mu'adh really, really loved the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the things that Allah mentioned in Surah Al-Fatih when he said regarding the Prophet and his companions that فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah knew that in their hearts they were people of Iman. Not like munafiqun. Allah said, لَكَاذِبُونَ. They were liars. So these companions, alim Allahu ma fi kulubihim. Allah knew that inside their hearts was what? Iman. Otherwise, he would have said, Muaz, you are lying. Allah would have sent a verse like he sent verses regarding munafiqun. Iza ja'aka al-munafiqun qalu nashhadu innaka la rasulullah. Those people are liars. Wallahu yashhadu inna al-munafiqin lakadhibun. They are liars. And this one happens too. You see many students of knowledge and teachers, when they meet them, say, Hayakallah, Hayaka, it's a lie, you. Hayakallah, Hayakallah, Hayak. He just backbites him now. Hayakallah, Hayakallah. In his mind, it is La Ahyakallah that he wants to say. Hayakallah, Hayakallah. It's a lie, you. But Allah knows the hearts of everybody. But if it is that it is truly from Iman, this person has good efforts upon the religion. You say, I love you for the sake of Allah, for your efforts. This is from the Sunnah of our deen. So Mu'adh replied, he says, Wa ana wallahi uhibbuk. Likewise, me, O Messenger of Allah, I swear by Allah, I love you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because from the aspects of loving somebody is to invite them to goodness. If you love somebody, you invite them to goodness. Brothers, you should know this. If someone says that he loves you, he should not invite you to sin. If someone really wants to prove that he loves you, he should not invite you to sin. If the love is true, he will not invite you to sin. He will not invite you to halak, self-destruction. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu, ala u'allimuka kalimatin taquluha fi duburi kulli salatik, ala u'allimuka, should I not teach you? Look at these emphases, look at this teaching methodology of the Prophet alayhi salatu, look at what he had said ahead to ensure that he got the full attention of who? Mu'adh. Is Allah u'allimuka kalimatin. Should I not teach you some expressions? Takuluha fi duburi kulli salatik. That you would say fi duburi kulli salatik. That you will say immediately after every of your salat. Should I not teach you something to say? So, Ikhwa, if you love somebody, give him gifts. This is one gift from the Prophet to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Mu'adh. Should I let me give you something? Usually, it's something that is, you know, strange. When we say give him gifts, our minds, we run to money and clothes and cars. No, it does not have to be that. It can be something in his deen that, let me give you one thing, be doing it. You find a lot of benefit in it. Be reading so thing. These are big gifts. Bigger than money and clothes and the food we can give. Big gifts. You will hear the dua. So Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he said, Naam ya Rasulallah. Teach me, give me that thing, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, Qul, you should say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrik. O Allah, help me regarding remembrance of you. Make me someone who will be remembering you at all times. A'inni supports me to be able to be remembering you all the time. Wa shukrika supports me to be thankful to you at all times. Wa husni ibadatik supports me to be a good, ardent, devoted worshipper of you, O Allah. Dhikr, shukr, and what? General ibadah. make me a righteous person who will be worshiping you, worshiping you, worshiping you. A'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika. Personally, Ibadatik, I'm sure many of us will know this dua. This was the story behind the dua. It was a gift of love from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I call it like that. To Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu. He told him to stick to it. Ala u'allimuka kalimatin taquluha fi duburi kulli salatik. All your salawats. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. From the things you should say is what? Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, a'inni ala dhikrik. Help me, support me to be able to remember you at all times. Wa shukrik. Support me to be grateful to you at all times. Wa husni ibadatik. Allah, help me to be a righteous servant, a devoted servant to you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was how the Prophet taught Mu'adh, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be saying, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. There are a lot of lessons in these ahadith, a lot of lessons in this hadith of Mu'adh, radiyallahu anhu, for the rest of us. The lessons of the dealings between the teacher and the student. The lessons of how important this dhikr is. You want to be a person who is always making dua. Beg Allah to make it easy for you to always make dua. Mu'adh was doing that upon the instruction of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let me ask us one question we all should be answering inside our mind. The way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to emphasize before he now taught Mu'adh that thing, do you think Mu'adh will ever leave that until he died? He will never leave it till he died. He would always be saying it. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. And Mu'adh died as a very young person. He was around 45 or 47 when he died. Mu'adh. He died in Ta'un Amwas. Ta'un Amwas was an epidemic that happened in Amwas. Amwas is a place in Palestine. Mu'adh died there in Ta'un Amwas. Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He was about 45 or 46 years old. The day that he died, a number of people in his home also died, like his wife and some of his children. They all died from Ta'un Amwas. Radiallahu anhu. Of course, some of them would have survived too, but from the report, I think his wife also died in Ta'un Amwas. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This report occurs in Siyar wa Alam al-Nubala by Imam al-Zahabi, and isnad is Hassan. The Prophet called him Sultanul Ulama Yawm al-Qiyamah. On the Day of Judgment, Mu'adh is Sultan, head of scholars. He also even mentioned him, radiyallahu anhu, as A'lamu Ummati bil Halali wal Haram. The most knowledgeable in my ummah about halal and haram was who? Mu'adh, radiyallahu anhu. And then when he counted those who should learn Quran from, khudul Qur'ana min arba'ati. Go and memorize Quran from four people. He mentioned Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And then he followed with who? Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Mu'adh. He was a very learned companion. The Prophet loved him so much. He declared it. He said, Wallahi, Mu'adh, I love you. Radiallahu anhum. I think we can stop here about Abdurrahman so that we can take a few questions that we may have today about Abdurrahman.
Salawatullahi alaykum, Shaykh.
Erwin
The question reads, does the saying dua encompasses both nawafil or restricted to only the 5 daily prayers?
Well, Allahu Alam, this expression appears as if it is all our salawat, whether obligatory or nawafil. But I have not seen the scholars saying that. I have not seen any of the scholars saying that from the early times, that what he meant here, alayhi salatu wasalam, included. The expressions may include it. The expressions may include the nawafil, but it appears that the expression was general, but the intention was specific. There are things the Prophet said like that, alayhi salatu wasalam. The expression will appear to cover so many things, but the actual intended place will be specific. So we should only say it in obligatory salat, after the salah, of course, after istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. From the adhkars that has been reported for after salah is to say, Allahumma anta salam, wa minka salam, tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram, like this, without those inclusions. And then we say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. We should only say it after the obligatory salawat. This is what the ulama have taught us, rahimahumullah.
Another question is, please, can we be saying it 3 times after every salat or just once?
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell him to say it 2 or 3 times. So say it once. He told him to say, Allahumma inni ala bikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. If he needed to repeat it, he would have told him. If he needed to repeat it, he would have told him to repeat it. So say it once, and it suffices. Evening.
Question here is, can one repeat any ayah of the Quran using it as a dua if the verse is related to one's request?
Yes, if you are in salah, maybe in tashahud, you can read that verse like Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanata wa qina adhabanna. The strongest view amongst the ulama regarding this issue, yes, you can read that verse of the Quran containing a dua with the intention of dua, even if it be in sujood or ruku', where we are prohibited from reading the verses of the Quran. They say because you are not intending to read the verse, you are actually intending the dua in the verse. And from the best expressions of dua are those expressions from Allah Himself. So if you say, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabanna, this is an expression that occurs in the Quran. But it was not said with an intention of reading the Quran in sujood or in ruku' or in at-tashahud. So it is permissible, inshallah, to read a verse of the Quran intending to make dua, not intending to make a recitation of the Quran, whether that's in sujood or ruku' or tashahud. It is permissible, inshallah.
I mean, Another question is, how can a family do to work together, especially with one's wife and children? Can individual recite different surah, followed by praising Allah in a number of times and some supplication length in this class? Then ask for
the first way you can make dua together is the father is making dua and the rest of the people are saying Ameen. Ameen. Baba is saying Rabbana Atina Fid Dunya Hasana. Everybody is saying what? Ameen. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua and Jibril was saying Ameen. And as is common in the books of Tariq, Musa alayhi salam was making dua and Harun was saying Ameen. So the head of the home or anybody who was selected to make that dua, please pray for us. You can be making the dua and the rest of us are saying Ameen, Ameen. This one is lawful, especially after we, maybe the father was reading the Quran and then he finishes, he can call his children to make dua for them. He makes a food, feast over the food, and then one of them makes dua. But the second way anyway is that the father can be teaching the Quran at the dua to the children if they don't know it. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Everybody says Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. Everybody says wa fil akhirati. As long as the children did not know it, it will still count as both dua and learning at the same time. This is another way. But that everybody gather, begin to shout with one single voice, people are commonly doing this and it is wrong. Rabbana, you know, everybody is shouting like that. It is not lawful. Dua should be in between. You are not shouting, you are not completely not moving your lips in between, in low tones. Rabbana atina. Don't forget that you are referring to Al-Jabbarul Kabir. So your voice should show that you are calling someone who is big and mighty, subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in the loud shouting voice. And everybody should be doing their own if they can do it. Many times, some heads of family want to bring everybody together. Everybody, Ajashadwa, everybody. Yes, let everybody sit down on their own. Everybody's making dua. Maybe everybody memorize more dua than others. This is another permissible way to make dua. But this usually bring Quran. You read Baqarah, you read Ali Imran, you share it, you quote the Quran, you share it. As was common, this is not from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that people gather everybody together, every person, each person is making his own dua, then that's okay, inshallah. I hope that it is clear.
Amen.
Allah Rahman, can we call it a day now?
No, my Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum.